This is one of the best places on the face of the earth. But to be in the presence of God, you could be anywhere on the globe, and it feels the same, and it moves the same. Praise God. We're so delighted to have Brother Bass, Sister Bass, here tonight. So glad to have them in the house. What a wonderful service. What a great word in the house this morning. What a great move of God. And I've asked him, and I don't care what he does tonight, I've asked him to share some of the stories from his most recent trips to Africa and India tonight, and just let you know what's happening in those places. And we want to engage with him in prayer. When he goes into those areas, we want him to have the wind of prophecy and prayer behind him. And we want him to have prayer covering him as he goes, because there's things in those places, darkness and spiritual wickedness, and he needs a prayer covering when he goes. And we want to join with him and pray with him. But Brother Bass, I want you to come tonight, and I want you to just tell us what the Holy Ghost is saying. Once more, clap your hands, lift your voice, give God a shout of praise.
Let's give God one more hand clap of praise, honoring him because of his goodness, his wonderful blessings to the children of men. We are blessed to be here tonight. And everybody shout amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. I even if we were not going to talk missions tonight for a few minutes, I would not attempt to preach in this kind of a service unless I absolutely felt it 100%. And I don't feel it. In fact, I was struggling this evening. It's not a matter of having a message. I got 53 years of preaching behind me. I got lots of stuff to preach. But I just always want to know that what I'm doing is the will of God and it's right. And my wife on the way to service, and I'm so happy to have her with me tonight. Amen. We celebrated 50 years of marriage last May the 1st. Amen. Thank God. And I'm delighted to have her by my side, continuing this great, great journey. But It's just that when the Holy Ghost knows what he's going to do, he just kind of sometimes leaves you out of the picture. And you just kind of like struggle and wonder, God, I got plenty to preach, but I don't feel anything particular. I don't feel any real strong direction. And I sent some notes, and whoever's got those notes, delete them out of the system. Amen? Because I don't want some of these other guys getting hold of them and using them. All right, so delete them out of the system. We'll use them later. Amen. But before we deal with talk about and give you some slides, some pictures to show from our recent journeys, there's just been something that I feel very strong where the people of God are concerned. I am absolutely convinced that God is working in places that we don't even realize he's working. He's doing things that we don't even realize he's doing. And recently, I noted the prayer that Jesus was praying on the Mount of Olives just prior to his arrest and his trial, his crucifixion. And the scripture said that he set his disciples in a certain place, and then Peter and James and John, they went with him a little further, and then Jesus told them to stay where they were, and he went a little further, and he prayed. And in a little bit, he comes back to where they are, and he says, he finds them asleep, and he says, "What could you not watch with me just 1 hour?" And as I looked a little more carefully at that, I really felt like that Jesus, in that time, because you got to understand, this was probably the most important prayer that had ever been prayed. When he is there praying, and his sweat became as great drops of blood. And he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. That was an important prayer. Because if he had allowed that cup to pass from him, we would not have felt what we felt here tonight. We would not have experienced what we're experiencing here tonight. That prayer was the pivotal prayer. Amen. And it's almost as if Jesus is saying to his disciples, what, can you not be interested enough in what I'm doing right now that you could stay awake for at least 1 hour and pray with me? Amen. Because I'm convinced of this. They didn't fully understand what was going on. They didn't fully comprehend. And if they had probably been a little more interested in what was going on, they may have understood a little more than what they understood at that given moment in time. And here's the conclusion I've come to, and that is this. Someone made the statement like this. They said, you know, if you get interested in what God's doing, then God gets interested in what you're doing. I don't really think that's the case. When you get interested in what God is doing, then God gets interested in showing you what he's doing. Amen. You get interested in what God is doing. You start asking God, what are you doing in this world? That's why we don't need to get focused on everything going on around us and the craziness of our society. It's already prophesied. Wars and rumors of wars, pestilence in diverse places, people being offended. These are all the signs of the end time. What we need to do is get ready to have revival, because it's the church's greatest hour. It's the church's greatest hour. Amen. I believe that we have a greater opportunity right now than we have ever had. And so I'm convinced that when you get interested, then God gets interested in showing you what he is doing. Let me give you an example in Scripture. Here we have in the Word of God, we have a man by the name of Ananias in a city called Damascus, and he's praying, and the Spirit of the Lord begins to deal with him and tell him there's a man down there on a street called Straight. His name is Saul. I've already been talking to him. Now I want you to go down there where he's at, and I want you to preach to him. I want you to talk to him. And before the night was out, Saul had received a sight, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and God started the process of one of the greatest ministries of all time. Amen. We always talk about Saul, but not much is said about an Ananias that got interested in what God was doing. And then we also have examples like Cornelius, who the angel shows up and tells him, send men down to Joppa. It was Simon Peter who was on the roof, and he was praying, and it was at that moment in time that the Lord began to show him the work that was going on. He gave him a vision. He saw many four-footed beasts inside of a sheet, and the Lord said, rise and eat. He said, I have not let anything unclean come into my mouth. And he said, don't call what I've cleansed common or unclean. There happens to be some men down there at the gate, and they're looking for you. I want you to go with them, and I don't want you to ask any questions. Just go follow them. And Cornelius' household got the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you what I'm interested in tonight. I'm interested in what God's doing. I said, I'm interested in what, I want to find out where God's working, what God's doing, who God's working with, and I want to pursue that. Amen. And so that has been my experience. And I know I've talked about this a little bit in the past, but it was actually 3 years ago in the beginning of 2019 that I felt in the Holy Ghost that I needed to set aside 2 or 3 weeks in the month of September of that year. I felt like I was going on a missions trip that I had never been to before, a place I had never gone. I've gone to many places in the past where missions work was concerned, but I felt like I was going, but I didn't know where, and I didn't know what the situation was. And so it was that it was at that time that it took several months. I felt like I needed to set that time aside. I wouldn't schedule anything during those weeks because, again, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know where it was, and I didn't exactly know how it was all going to come about. That was around February, March of, that'd be 3 years ago now, and it was in June that I received a call and was invited to go to the country of Zambia. We were invited to preach and teach in a Trinitarian conference that the bishop that invited us oversees eight different or churches in eight different South African nations. So we went, and after 3 days of teaching, intense teaching and preaching, it was that meeting that we baptized over 125 people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Many of them were preachers. They were church leaders, saints, pastors' wives. And so from that point, many, many good things have happened. So because of COVID, because of the restrictions on travel, we were unable to travel for a couple of years. And it was this past October that we returned to the continent of Africa. And this is a little bit of what we experienced in that continent. And so if we come, our first stop was in the country of Uganda. In October, we visited four countries. And we stopped first in Uganda. This is Pastor Isaac Kizito and his wife. His wife's name is Immaculate. And so a very precious couple, a godly couple, and a man with an incredible revelation of the mighty God in Christ. He is going to be a very special individual in the country of Uganda in getting this gospel out. This man has already baptized multiple Trinitarian pastors and bishops in his own nation. And God is blessing his ministry tremendously. Next slide. We were there in service with him in Uganda. And it was here, as you see in this slide, this is where that we're going to be constructing. If you'll back it up one time, back up, it's going too fast. There you go. This is the location of a building that we're going to build in Uganda that will be the headquarters church for this work in the country of Uganda. We have helped purchase this property. When we were there, we started putting field dirt in to get it up to the point where it would not be in a flood zone. And so that is where we are at the present time. We have begun, we do have architectural drawings and the schematics, everything is ready, and we're hoping to get started shortly on a building project for this work in Uganda. Next slide is the artist concept of the church. This is what the church will actually look like whenever it is complete. Very nice place. A very nice facility that can be serving as a not just a local church, but it will also be a headquarters church for the churches that he is overseeing, and it will be also a training center for men that get the revelation. Next slide is of the prayer meeting that we had at the end of the service that we were there that day. We had all-day services. And this was the altar service. And it was after this altar service that we baptized 33 people in the wonderful name of the Lord. Amen. We went from Uganda to the country. I think that's the last slide on Uganda. If you go to the next slide. Yes, we went to the country of Malawi. And this is Bishop and Sister Max and Banda. This man, I mentioned this again to New Life on one of our previous trips, that he was one of my interpreters on that original conference back in 2019. He is the man that as I was preaching on the Godhead and teaching on the Godhead, and he's interpreting. Now, you got to understand, he's a Trinitarian preacher. That means he's never preached this message before in his life. But he's being forced to preach it that day because he's got to interpret for me. And so while I'm teaching and he is interpreting, he gets the revelation. He understands that there's only one God. Amen. And he got so excited. I'm here teaching, and he would follow me and make the point and then turn back and say, this is good. Come on, preach some more. So it was quite exciting to watch him get that revelation. So the next slide is the service that we were in. We're actually in a building that we helped them build after that. He was baptized. He started this church in the eastern part of the country of Malawi, and we helped him get this building constructed. So we were there preaching in that building, and I don't remember exactly how many, but I think if I recollect properly, it was like 19 people that received the Holy Ghost in that service that day. Amen. Now, this man has baptized, since I baptized him, and I had the privilege of actually baptizing him myself in that conference. And since that time, he has baptized over 500 people in the name of the Lord. Amen. Just real briefly here, it was yesterday on Saturday that he baptized, I think it was 11 people, and he just texted me while we have been in service tonight, and he said that they have today in services, they had 8 that received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and they're going to baptize that 8 tomorrow. And here's his words to me today. He said, I am shocked at what is happening. The power of God and how it is working. I have never seen this happen before. Let me tell you, truth makes a difference. Truth makes a difference. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of, there's power in truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. He's got so many testimonies. This man is doing an incredible work for God in the country of Malawi, as well as across the border in the country of Mozambique. So he's actually working in two different countries. The next slide is a picture of the church. That's the church building that we actually helped them build. The people made the brick themselves. They fired the brick. They got them where they were construction grade. They laid the walls up. We helped them put the roof on, finish the floor on the inside. And we're just excited about what God's doing. This property right here eventually will become the Apostolic Training Institute for the country of Malawi as well as Mozambique. So we have great vision for this particular area. Next slide. This is Bishop Musakwa. He is in the country of Zimbabwe. And this property he's standing on, we have helped him purchase this property, and he is in the process of building. He's had to build, first of all, a missions house, a place where they could live in order to protect anything else that's done there in the future. So we have a well. What you see in the background is a well drilling truck. And so we have helped him get all of that accomplished, get a fence around the compound, and get his home constructed. The next project is going to be establishing a church, or he's actually already has an established church, but this will be the new location of their worship facility and also a training facility. The next slide is a picture of the house. Actually, that's an older picture. We now have the roof on it, and they are living in that house now. So you can, I think there's maybe one more slide of the home. Yes, that's the front view of the home. And so we've tried to help them be able to get moved in and get established so that what they do in the future will be protected there. These are the way you have to do things in third world countries. Sometimes you can't always do what you want to do first. You got to do some other things so that you ensure that what you do in the future is not taken away, stolen, or whatever the case might be. We've had to deal with all of those issues, but that's life. Next slide is of Bishop and Sister Simon Masandu. Now, Bishop Simon Masandu received the revelation about 8 years ago. This man has an incredible grasp on the truth, on the revelation of the mighty God in Christ, the plan of salvation. And they are doing a tremendous work there in the country of Zimbabwe. Now, it was last August that I'd actually been talking to him, because back during the severest time of COVID, when Zimbabwe government had everybody locked down and no one could leave their houses, they went out with bulldozers and they were bulldozing churches. The purpose of them going out with bulldozers was to bulldoze illegal businesses that had been set up on the side of the road. Someone had the great idea, let's don't just do away with these businesses, let's bulldoze churches when we come to them. So they bulldozed 26 churches in one day in their area, and his church was one of them. Now, his building was legal, but he didn't own the property. So when he went back to rebuild, then the owners refused to allow him to rebuild his building, and so he was left without a facility to worship in. They rented a facility for a number of months, and actually are still renting it, because we're in the process of doing some things with him, and I'll tell you about that as we progress in the slides. But I told him, I said, Bishop, find property, find a building. Let's just look for a building that we can remodel and make into a church. Whatever it takes, let's just see what we can find. And so at somewhere in August, he contacted me and he said, I have located a piece of property that used to be a school. He said, the school is shut down. And he said, we have a golden opportunity. So I think the next slide will show you some of the pictures. This picture here is of it's actually like a little small apartments that the teachers who taught in the school, they actually lived on the property. This property is 4 acres of property. It's not a small lot. It's 4 acres of property. And it has, at the present, 5 usable buildings and 3 other buildings that have potential for being used. And so this was the apartment for the teachers. The next slide shows you what would they call this? It would be like a dormitory for the boys and the girls. One end was the boys, one end was the girls. And this is where the students would sleep during the course of the week. They would come to the property. They would stay there all week long. Some of them may have lived there continuously, but that was the dormitory. The next slide were the public restrooms, large restrooms on one end for the men, another end for the ladies, showers and all of this. That's where the restrooms were located. And then the next slide would show you 2 buildings that after the school shut down, no one was there to protect it. And so someone came in and stole the roofs off of these 2 buildings. And so we are actually taking, and we've taken it down because it was unstable, and we are building a church building there. I don't have that picture with me to show you, but we have the walls up on that building, and we're getting ready to pour the floor in the next few days. The next slide will show you the buildings like they look, because this is a third building that has 3 classrooms in it. And then the next slide is of the administrative building. So we had these five buildings usable, two buildings without roofs, and then I think the next slide shows you a slab that is already poured and ready to be built on. We were able to purchase this entire property. We negotiated originally at $80,000, which was a miracle. No way we could replace the property for that amount. No way could we replace the buildings for that amount. But God opened the door. God touched the hearts of the owners. And when we actually went to close, we renegotiated and bought it for $70,000. Amen. So mid-September, they gave us a deadline of September the 15th. We negotiated with them that we would purchase this property. We would give them 40% down, and we would give them the balance in 90 days after closing. So they had, because they wanted cash, they didn't want, in Zimbabwe, Zimbabwe doesn't even have a currency. They have no actual national currency. All they have is banknotes, and people don't trust them, and they don't trust the banks, and so they wanted U.S. dollars. So it took us a little bit of time to be able to transfer, because we could only transfer a small amount at a time. And so they negotiated and said, we'll take 40% down, and 90 days we want the balance. They gave us till September 15th. We had the down payment by September the 15th, and within 30 days, God opened doors, God blessed, churches responded, and we paid this property off by the middle of October. Amen. Paid in full. As well as having some additional funds that we could use to start some improvements. There were things that needed to be done, like, for instance, that administrative building that you saw, we have turned that into a living quarters for Bishop Masondu, so they can be on the property again to protect it. And also, they're establishing a church on this property. And the full intent of this is to be a training center for the apostolic ministry in the country of Zimbabwe. God's doing incredible things in Zimbabwe. There are multiple apostolic movements there. Amen. And so the next slide, when we closed on the property, we actually closed about a week and a half prior to us going over to Africa. So we went to Uganda first, we went to Malawi second, and then we went to Zimbabwe. We landed at 12 noon on Saturday. They had set up this tent for a Saturday night service and a Sunday service. We had our very first service on that property. I had the privilege of preaching the service that night, and we had a wonderful and incredible move of the Holy Ghost. Sunday, we had quite a number that received the Holy Ghost. We had some to receive the Holy Ghost on Saturday night. But to tell you the exact number, I really don't know. Now, I can count how many people go down in water. But I just feel like God keeps a whole lot better record at how many folks get the Holy Ghost than what I do. So I don't really worry about Holy Ghost numbers. We just know we had a good number of folks get the Holy Ghost that day. Amen. And so we had a tremendous time, and we are in the process of planning to go back to this facility in October, and we're going to have a training conference on this property. By that time, the Lord willing, we will have a church building constructed, a place that we can meet. And of course, the people that come, they'll be staying there on the property. We'll have things in a condition that it will be at least tolerable. Amen. It won't be the Taj Mahal, but it'll be a nice place by the time we get through with it. God's going to make a way. I don't worry about money. God's got plenty of money. I say, God's got plenty of money. Amen. I don't worry about that. He takes care of the bills. So I'm just his manager. That's all I am. And so this was in Zimbabwe. The next slide, this is Bishop Frank Mwinga. This is the man that invited us to come over and teach in the national conference that they were having in 2019. And Bishop Mwinga is a man that has gotten this revelation, and God is using him in a very powerful way. He and Bishop Masandu are very close to one another, and they're actually working together in some very special efforts, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But this is the bishop that we baptized a little over 3 years ago now. Next slide shows a construction project that we have underway right now in Zambia. We're actually a little further along than what you see. We've poured the lintel at that level and gone up, I think it's another 5 or 6 courses of block. And so that building is about 60 wide by 85 long. You've got, I think, maybe 2 more pictures that'll show you the inside of the auditorium. This will be a church. It will be a conference center. We have other plans for this property as time progresses and as God provides the means for us to accomplish what our dreams are. So the next slide, I think, is the opposite direction. No, that was the only one. This is a dream come true, what you're looking at right there on that picture. For several years, I have had a burden to develop a training conference for pastors, preachers, church leaders in third world nations, men that did not have access to some of the material that our North American preachers and men in training have access to. And so we developed what we're calling the Shepherd's Symposium. It is 3 days and 4 nights of services. We're dealing with a lot of basics in life, character development, spiritual development, personal holiness, the family. We're dealing with the nuts and bolts of ministry, how to teach, how to preach, how to study, how to prepare. And then, of course, we're dealing also with the doctrines that you need to be preaching to develop a true apostolic church. And then the final day, we're focusing on the kingdom, ministerial relationships, along with various other aspects, ministry or missions works and evangelism, and trying to help them understand how to equip the saints, how to grow the church. What you're seeing here is the first Shepherd Symposium that we were able to have, and we had it in Zambia at the same city that we had the conference in 2.5 years ago in 2019. So this is Bishop Wilmoth, Bishop Buxton, and then my son-in-law, Brother Larry Worthen, was there working with me as a team. We had 176 that were enrolled, and then at the last minute, we had another 30 pastors, Trinitarian pastors from that general area that almost demanded that we allow them to come. And so we allowed them to come during the daytime, and so we had an incredible move. God did great things. When we went, I was showing the bishop, Bishop Sutton, I was showing him telling him a little bit about what went on 2 years ago. When we went there 2 years ago, the praise singers, maybe I'll hold that for a minute because I think I have a picture of them. So let's just hold that thought for a minute. But we had a great time. The next slide, I think, actually shows the platform area. And that's our Shepherd Symposium banner, Principles for Spiritual Leadership. As you can see over on the left, it has 2021 and the picture or the drawing of Africa, the African edition. We developed the materials. Everything was in printed form, and everyone got their own book, their own syllabus that they not only could use at the conference but take it home with them. The wonderful thing is some of these men have gone back to their local areas, and they're translating that material into their local language so that they're able to teach it and preach it right there in their churches. So it was at this conference that I think we baptized, because a number of these people we had already baptized 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and it was at this meeting that we had, I believe it was another 24 people that we baptized, and most all of them were preachers and their wives. Next slide. This is the praise singers. I don't know if you can hear them. We don't have the sound coming through. But that's some of the praise singing going on during the conference. There you go. Now, the young man that was leading that, he was in our meeting 2.5 years ago. He did not convert at that time. He did not embrace it. During this conference, he saw his need. He repented, even though he's a praise singer. He repented, and we baptized him, and he was a completely changed individual by the time that conference was over with. Amen. God really did a work in his life. And so I'll show you another picture here in a moment of praise singers. I think I have one more. Go to the next slide. Here they are here. Now, I think there's probably there should be some audio with this also. So if you just look at that picture there real quick, when I went 2.5 years ago, the praise singing group on the platform, we had everything from earrings, necklaces, bracelets, you name it. They had jewelry. They would have been a wonderful representation of Revlon when it come to makeup. They had slacks on the women. There was short skirts. It was a sight to look at. 2.5 years later, look what you see on the platform. They didn't just embrace the oneness of God. They embraced holiness. Woo! No jewelry, no makeup. The lady right there in the left in the black, she is a pastor's wife. That lady is an incredible singer. And in this trip, I watched her as God began to deal with her, and she removed all of her jewelry, took it all off that she had. And the lady in the green that was singing just before her out toward the front, the same thing happened to her. The rest of those ladies up there are part of that local assembly under Bishop Mwinga, and God had already been dealing with them. In fact, Bishop Mwinga's wife she was loaded with jewelry when I went the first time. I walked in the first night of our conference. I looked at her, and I was shocked. I almost didn't recognize her because she had no jewelry on, no makeup on. And so during the conference, her husband brought her up on the platform, and he said, "Now, gentlemen, I want you to look at my wife here tonight." He said, "I want to tell you that I was one happy man whenever my wife took all of that makeup off and all that jewelry off," he said, "because now I I can see the true, genuine woman that I married. And he said, isn't she beautiful? Amen. Now I'm just going to tell you, some folks don't feel like that's necessary, but I'm going to tell you, I believe it's necessary. If you get a revelation of the mighty God in Christ, you're going to get a revelation of his holiness. You will separate yourself. You will become separated. I'm talking to the bishop during the course of this conference, and he made a statement to me, and I looked at him and I said, wait a minute, Bishop, are you telling me that you have a history in holiness? He said, when I got in church in 1980, 1981, he said, our women were very godly. He said, they started wearing jewelry. They started wearing short skirts. They started wearing slacks. He said, we went to our founder, and he said, our founder said, no, I don't agree with all of this. I don't think that's right. He said, but not long afterward, he made a trip to the United States, and this doesn't say very much for the church, for many of the denominational churches in America. He said, he went to America, came to America, went back and told him, said, no, it's okay. Everybody over there's doing it. They're saying it's fine. No big deal. He said, so that's why our church changed. He said, but you men have not only brought to us an understanding of the Godhead, but you're also telling us, no, you have drifted from your roots. You need to go back to where you came from. Go back to holiness. Go back to separation. And he said, Bishop, we're happy about it. He said, my children love it. My daughters love it. Amen. That's the kind of stuff that's going on. So this is what we had there in Zambia. That was our fourth stop. And we had a lot of good things that have happened there. The next slide, I think, this is Bishop. This is actually when he is talking about his wife. This is when he's got her up there, using her as an example of holiness and the difference that it has made in her life. The next slide, I think, is that the last slide? No. Okay, so just hold that slide for a moment. Let me tell you a little bit more about what's going on with Bishop Mwinga. After the Shepherd Symposium, he started baptizing men that came. They started studying this. They got the revelation. And there's been several key men that have been baptized. We've baptized one bishop that has already baptized, I think it was 30 of his leaders, 12 of his pastors, 18 of his church leaders that's in that general area. That's happened since I came back in October. We had a group that somehow got some of the recordings, I guess, off of Facebook or whatever, of what happened in Lusaka in October. And they sent a video recording saying, we see what you're preaching, but we need somebody to come teach us. So we facilitated Bishop Mwinga, Bishop Masandu to go to Tanzania. This is where that group was from. And they had several pastors and bishops that were baptized as a result of that trip. And today, one of those pastors texted me and said, I have baptized 3 today in the name of the Lord. Amen. So great things are happening in Tanzania. Yesterday was a week ago. It's either 1 week ago or 2 weeks ago, but it's been within the past 2 weeks. The 30 men, the 30 pastors I told you about that demanded that to come, be able to come to the conference, they wanted to meet with Bishop Mwinga. They had been studying, they had been praying, and so they wanted to have a day or 2 days of teaching. He met with them, and it was either Saturday a week ago or 2 weeks ago that he baptized 31 of those pastors and bishops from that group. This is recent. This is what's going on right now. And now we have two things that are on the agenda for the month of March. We're sending Bishop Mwinga and Bishop Masandu up to the country of Namibia. There was a man, a bishop from that country that was with us in the conference. He got the revelation. He wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name, but he said, I don't want to do it here. I know I need to, but I don't want to do it here. I want to do it in my home country, in front of my family, and in front of my church. But not only do I want that, he said, I want you to come up and teach my churches and teach my family, and you're going to baptize me first, and then we're going to baptize my whole family, and my all of my churches are going to get baptized in Jesus' name. That is what is unfolding in the month of March. He's going up there. He's also planning a meeting in what's called the Copper Belt region of Zambia. They have a very large number of churches up there, and there are supposed to be between 200 and 300 Trinitarian preachers that are going to meet together, and they have already told him, bring your baptismal pool when you come, because not only do we want you to teach us, but before you leave, we want you to baptize us also. Amen. So that's coming up in the month of March, and so we're going back to Zambia in October. After we go to Zimbabwe, we're going over to Zambia, and we're going to have Shepherd Symposium Level 2, which is going to consist of nothing but apostolic doctrine. So that's what's going on, and there's many more things, and I will show you the trip I just made to Gambia after we finish this particular slide presentation. This is in India. This man that we're working with here, what you see, this particular project, when I was there in February of 20, which would be 2 years ago this month, when I was with him, we actually had church on this piece of property. We had our daytime sessions teaching the ministers in a church building adjacent to this. But we had church on the outside at night because we didn't have a place large enough for the crowd. And so we had quite a number of people that received the Holy Ghost. I think it was like 38 that got the Holy Ghost in three nights of services. Eight of them were pastors that had been recently baptized but had never gotten the Holy Ghost. And so they received the Holy Ghost during the course of that teaching. This Pastor Chena, who oversees quite a large number of churches, a network of churches in the state of Andhra Pradesh, India. This property was donated to him by an elder Hindu man. What happened is this man got very sick, and they didn't think he was going to live, and so they called Pastor Chena to come pray for him. God healed him, and when God, after God healed him, he donated this piece of property. That the healing was a great miracle, but for a Hindu to donate to a Christian church a piece of property, that is a great miracle. Amen. That piece of property is now valued at $95,000. So he got the property. He showed me prints. He said, this is what I want to build. When I looked at his prints, I looked at him and I said, you got great dreams. You got a wonderful vision. I'll help you pray about it. So in May of 20, this same elder Hindu man, his son, who is apparently a very successful businessman, got sick with COVID. And this is the only time I guess I can say thank God for COVID. But anyway, he got very sick with COVID. They didn't think he was going to make it. They called Pastor Chena. He went down and prayed for him, and God healed him. He donated, he gave right about $25,000 toward the construction of this building, which is what helped us get started. The property was very low, so we had to build stem walls up that are about 7 or 8 feet high and then backfill everything. And so what you see on that ground floor, they're still about 7 or 8 feet below that. So we put the foundation in, built the stem walls, backfilled everything, and we're building a church and a training center for the ministry in the state of Andhra Pradesh. It's a little further along than what this slide shows. There's some more stuff that's been done on the top of the building for weatherproofing and things of that nature. But the bottom floor and the first floor is about 90% complete. And God has blessed us. At this point, we only have 100 and $8,000 U.S. dollars cash money in the construction of that building. That building's about 40 foot wide and 70 foot long. Now, don't ask me how we've done it. Don't ask me how it's been accomplished. All I can tell you is God's helped us to get that building to that point for $108,000. And so that's what's going on there. The next slide is, you know, I thought I had a picture of Pastor Sheena in there. There's supposed to be one of him. I don't know if it's two pictures back. Sea of 20, okay, that, right, okay, you're still, go back to slide 23. See if you can bring up slide 20. There, that's Pastor Sheena and his wife and his son. Sheena Boka is his last name. So that's the family. So you can go back now to 24, 25, and this is 26, but yeah, slide 26. This is Pastor Tandy, Peter Tandy. He is from a state in the north side of Andhra Pradesh. He found out I was coming to India in 2019. I made a trip there, and then I made another trip in 20. And he found out I was coming. He had been working with a couple out of my son's church in Ocala. They had been giving him Bible study. And so he traveled 24 hours by train, nonstop, to get to where I was. And if you've ever seen Indian trains, then you'll know that was quite a feat. But he traveled all that distance for one reason. He said, I came down here because I've been praying for a long, long time that God would give me a spiritual leader in my life. And he said, I prayed the whole way saying, God, is this the man that you have, that you are sending to me? So here's Pastor Tandy. We've been working with him from the state of Orissa. The next slide is of a project that we're building right now. We're putting the second story on that building, and we're going to use that as a church and also a training center for the state of Orissa. And God is just doing great things. They've baptized a number of people lately. Back to Pastor Sheena, just this year so far, he has baptized, I think it has been 61 people already this year, and 66 have received the gift of the Holy Ghost this year. And a number of those are Trinitarian pastors that he has baptized. So this is Pastor Tandy's, going to be his church and also a training center. The next slide shows you in another village close to him. We built this small building as a combination church and a school. There's a young lady that has the Holy Ghost. She's been baptized. And she is an orphan, and her three siblings, they all have been orphans for a number of years. And so she's always had a burden for children. And so this house, or this building, I should say, is serving as a combination village, church, a school, and it's also been a residence for her. We put a well outside of this home. The village that this house is in has no fresh water. It's never had fresh water. A lot of disease, a lot of sickness. Now, the Christians have the fresh water, so we're pretty good people there right now. They like us. The Hindus like us because we give them fresh water. And so this house, we've had that constructed last year. And back in September, Pastor Tandy's son, who was single, became enamored with Anasuya, who is in her 20s, and they got married. And so this is where Pastor Hosea and Anasuya, they're going to have their, this is where they're going to be headquartered. So if you go to the next slide, you'll see that we are adding on, well, that's actually the well, a picture of the well. Go to the next slide. And this is Pastor Tandy's son and Anasuya. They have gotten married. And then we are now adding on to that building for them to have a living quarters and be able to enlarge it so that they can teach the children. There's a lot of orphans involved, young children involved that don't have any other way to go to school. She's teaching them. But the wonderful thing about it is it's given us access to another generation that we're going to raise up as apostolics. Amen. That, I think, is a key. The next slide shows you the project underway. We are right now getting ready to pour the roof. We're actually taking the tin roof off the other building, and we're going to pour a concrete roof over that entire building that we're building there. That project is underway right now, and so is the other two that we mentioned. Now, if you load up, I think that's the last slide, if I'm not mistaken. It may be one of the children, of her teaching the children. Yes, there's one of the children outside. That's actually in a church service. They were having a service with them, Sunday school, and I think maybe one more shows her actually teaching them school. Yes, that's inside, and they're in their school lessons there. So if you'll bring up the other slide presentation, we'll do that real quick. It's not nearly as many slides on this one, but this is a recent trip I just made to Africa. This happened a couple of weeks ago. I've only been back from Africa about nine days, something like that. But you'll look at the right in the middle, the white area. That is the country of Gambia. A year and 8 months ago, 9 months ago, I had a young man from Gambia contact me. And long story short, he was the one I've mentioned to this church that I sent him out. We did a Bible study on FaceTime. I sent him out to the water, and the only thing I knew to do, this was in the summer of 20, and we had no way to get over there to baptize him. And so I just sent him out to the water and had his sister hold a phone and put him on FaceTime. And I said, when I say I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, I want you to go under the water. So he did. And a few days later, I gave him another study on the Holy Ghost on FaceTime. We had a prayer meeting on FaceTime, and he got the Holy Ghost. Amen. So since that time, I have been training him. Every week, we've had Bible studies, sometimes two a week. But I've been developing him, working with him. And I've tried to find an apostolic church in Gambia. I have not been able to find one. Now, the last day I was in Gambia, I actually had a missionary from the country of Senegal, which is on the north side and the south side. It actually wraps around Gambia. Contact me and said he had been to Gambia on several occasions, had baptized about 12 men. But he said, to be honest, I don't even know if they're actually pursuing and preaching. He said, I'm going back in March to discover and find out what's going on there. So at the present moment, or before I went, there really wasn't a church that was set in order to start actually having services, doing something for God there, for the truth. And so this young man, I've been working with him. They finally opened the doors where I could go over there and meet with him. And I made a trip, I think it was February the 8th, I believe, that I left to go over there. So if you'll go to the next slide, this is the plane. You can go to the next one. That's the one that I took in there. That's the Banjul International Airport in Gambia. There's more on these slides than I thought there was. But anyway, this is just some street scenes in the country of Gambia, a very, very impoverished nation. It's very sad to see what's going on. A city policeman standing in the middle of the road directing traffic makes 30,000 dialysis a month, and that's equal to $60 US. That don't go very far when you're feeding maybe a half a dozen miles, but that's a month. They make $60 US per month. Of course, they do kind of like compensate for that when they stop you on the side of the road and they say, we got a little problem here with your vehicle, but of course, you know, we can arrange for you to keep going if you, you know, give us a little something. So you either fuss at them and get left by the side of the road, or you just give them $100 or $200 and you keep driving. So we just do what we have to do. Next slide. This is just some street scenes. Go to the next one. That's another scene. Next slide. This is a typical neighborhood street. Very, very, very few streets there are paved. Almost every street is dirt, rock, whatever it might be in that particular area. Next slide is whenever they were, all these guys here are Muslim, and they are, I guess you would call it, leading a parade of some kind. They've got some kind of imam, some big guy that's coming into town to speak at the mosque that's actually right behind us from where we are sitting. You can go to the next slide. This is just a short picture there again of a street scene. And then here again is another picture. It's going down the street. It's quite an experience being there. I ate more dust, I think, in that trip than I've ever ate in my life. Next slide. Okay, this is a market where Madhu, my son in the gospel over there, was buying goat meat to cook. And the next slide is you can see on the roof of that building is dried goat skins, and no telling what other kind of skins are there. Okay, so we'll move on. This is Madhu. This is the young man I work with. We're actually standing inside of the building that we've been working on to have church in. The next slide shows him, and actually shows us further back in the building. We have the building where we can have church. It's now complete. We have lights. We have electricity. And this is going to be, to my knowledge, it is the first apostolic church in the country of Gambia. Amen. Next slide shows him and his siblings. Actually me and the siblings. He's got a sister that is going on 15, a brother going on 14. Their parents were killed in a severe car accident about 5 years ago, and he's basically taken care of his, well, he has taken care of his brother and sister since then. This is them sitting in the church, in the little sanctuary there. And so when I went, we had Bible study that day. This was a Sunday, and I taught his sister and brother the plan of salvation, and they both wanted to be baptized. And so I went out that day. Of course, we had a prayer meeting right there. And the girl, her name is Isa, she felt the Holy Ghost. It came so powerful. And she told her brother later, she said, I felt something I've never felt in my life. And it felt so, so very good. And that's saying a lot. When you're in a country that is so impoverished and it is so locked down with the Islamic religion, that's saying a lot. Thank God for the Holy Ghost that can work under any circumstance. The next slide is the Atlantic Ocean. The next slide after that, because we were only maybe 20 minutes or so from the ocean. I told Madhu when I got there, I said, son, I know that we did your baptism the way we did it. I said, but there is a real true way to do it, and I want to put my hands on you. I want to be in the water with you. So I rebaptized him there. I just wanted to make sure that it was right. Amen. That's just the way it was. And then the next slide shows that I'm out in the water with his sister and brother and baptized the two of them. So first service, we baptized three in Jesus' name. I don't think that's too bad. Amen. I think that may be the last slide. I'm not sure. This was a recent baptism in Malawi. So we'll just stop it right there. We've already talked about that. But I don't know. There's so many more stories I could tell you. So many more things that are going on. As I've mentioned, we have one of the things, and I want this church to really take this to prayer, because one of the things that I really believe is we're living in the end time. We don't really have enough time to send American missionaries to various places, and it take 10 years for them to learn the language, learn the culture, get some kind of credibility standing among the population to try to start having revival. What God has blessed me to be able to do, as you have seen, is everyone I'm working with right now, they are native pastors, native bishops, native missionaries. So we're working with them to facilitate their ministry. We're bringing them into the truth. We're developing them in apostolic doctrine. They already know the language. They already know the culture. They have lived there. They have the contacts. And it is exploding in revival. The words they're sending back to us is, Bishop, it is like a brush fire over here. We don't even know how to keep up with everything that's happening, the calls that we're getting. So that is what is exciting to me, is to have the privilege of working with these men. So that's why that we're helping to facilitate the 3 building projects in India. We're helping with the project in Uganda. We've already got the project done in Gambia. In fact, 2 of the ones in India, God has already supplied the need, and those 2 of those are fully funded. The 3-story building is still in process, and we're working to raise funds on that. But we have a project going in Uganda. We showed you that church site there. We have 2 in Zimbabwe. We have the 1 in Zambia. We have other things that we're planning in the country of Malawi. And I'm just telling you, God is doing it. And I decided if I stay interested in what God is doing, He'll get interested in showing me what He's doing. I want to be involved. I want to be a part of what God is doing in these last days. Amen. Can you give God a praise offering right now?
And I'd like for our church family to just come back down around the altar tonight. We want to pray with these folks. They are in these areas. They are the tip of the spear in what we are in the last number of years calling a find and facilitate model of missionary work. And it just has so very much potential. And I want you to come and lay your hands on them and pray for them right now, if you would. Strengthen their bodies, health and strength in their house, an anointing that God would make a way, and continue to open these doors for revival. All over this house tonight, just extend your hand, extend your faith. Pray God's blessing and strength on them. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, God, anoint your vessel. Mighty God, rain revival where they go. Open a door, a fresh door. Vision and anointing and understanding. God, cause them, give them an open door in all of these countries. Give us revival in those places, oh God. Men and women filled with your spirit. Trinitarian churches turning into oneness apostolic churches. The breath of God blowing in those places. Revival in every nation. Do it in Jesus' name. Do it in Jesus' name. Do it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And if you believe God's breathing revival in these places and that we're living in the last days, let's give God some praise and magnify Him. Let's bless His name. Hallelujah. God, mighty God, we praise you. We worship you, oh God. We lift you up, oh God. We magnify you. Glory, 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 glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We've already had an excellent move of God in the altar tonight. We've already had really good prayer. And I think it's very important for us to have the conversation about missions that we've had tonight. I'll tell you, as often, and many of you know, as often as Brother Bass has been here, he's preached and God has used him, and we love his ministry, and we love his ministry in the Word of God. He has never asked us for one nickel for any of these things. He's just been ebullient to just talk about it because that's his passion and he's excited about it. And he's never asked us for anything. But I'll tell you what, this is a place where we can invest. And it goes straight to him and straight to the field. And it goes right into the work. And we want to be a part of this. And I don't know what that's going to look like in months to come and all. But I want you to know we're going to be a part of this. And we've already begun that process and begun to support this work of ministry. We're going to continue that as we go forth. We're going to be a part of this ministry. And so he's finding them, and we're going to help facilitate them. And we're going to help support him. And it's a good thing he's a young man, because he's going to need a lot of energy to do all this. He's not a retiree. He's just found a vein here. I believe there are going to be thousands of people that get the Holy Ghost as a response to this area of ministry. And in those pictures, Brother Buxton has always had a heart for ministry, and Brother Wilmoth also. And so he's tethered together with some really, really mission-minded visionaries. And we're excited to have a connection here, and we want to be a part of this. Everybody that's going to pray for Brother and Sister Bass, say amen. So good to be a part of what God is doing. So good to see you in the Lord's house on a Sunday night. We're going to continue to praise him. Let's bring some empty vessels to the house on Wednesday night, and let's see what God will do. God bless.